principle in my life is I find out what the women in it want me to do, and I do it. So if she said I should interview, I did. And that resulted in a long conversation between myself and Mr. Stokes about the nature of the kind of investigation he wanted to run. And he told me he wanted it, this is a quote, a professional investigation consistent with the dignity of the lives of John Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King, that he was not interested in publicity, and he did not have any preconceptions as how it would turn out. I told him that I had worked in the Department of Justice under Kennedy and that I had read the Warren Commission's report, and I thought on the whole it was a workmanlike job, and I doubted that there was a conspiracy involved. In particular, I doubted that organized crime would ever have undertaking a high-risk venture like that. But that if he wanted a professional investigation where we could pursue any leads that were appropriate and that I would be obviously in consultation with him as they were done, and he said, yes, that's what he wanted to do. And so that's how I ended up the chief counsel.
This problem between Sprague and Gonzalez, it was budgetary, in your opinion? It was estimates of what they would be running into? And
it was a personality clash between Sprague and Gonzalez. They were both two very volatile individuals. And Sprague was a bull in a china shop on the Hill. He was not somebody who was going to work for a congressional committee. He was going to do the investigation himself. And even though he had conducted an investigation into most famously, who killed Yablonsky, or the mine workers, he was just totally unsuited to conduct an investigation on the Hill. The Hill does not have jurisdiction to investigate crimes. If they were to investigate the assassinations, it would have to be in the context of an investigation of the performance of the agencies. How well did they do their job? Now, incidentally, while you investigated what the agencies did, you would have to investigate the assassinations themselves. But you really were not investigating the assassinations. That would be unconstitutional. Congressional committees don't investigate crimes. So we had to be very careful in the constitutional way in which we conducted the investigation.
Do you think the public understood that? You know, my understanding is that the whole reason that this, with Mark Lane gathering this momentum here, is that people didn't trust the Warren Commission's report, and they wanted some kind of independent investigation. And that's maybe where people saw this as a sore spot.
Well, the politics of it were that a certain number of people wanted to find out what happened to Kennedy, and another group of people wanted to find out what happened to King. And between the two of them, they had a majority to form a committee. That's how we got King and Kennedy. It was sort of the political base for what we did. And we spent approximately 50% of our personnel and time investigating King's death, and spent approximately 50% of our time investigating Kennedy's death. So I can understand what you just said to me. But what that ignores is that we live in the real world of Washington, and we live in the real world of constitutional constraints. And the constitutional constraints are we could have an investigation to try to find out what happened to Kennedy and try to find out to King. But that wouldn't be directly what we were doing. Simply, we lacked the constitutional authority to do that. So it doesn't really make any difference what people think. You live within the constraints of law. And if we were worried, for example, about the possibility that the rogue people in the agency might have killed Kennedy, there are two dimensions to that. One, they killed Kennedy, which is an assassination. And they were second rogue people in the agency. Because whatever else the CIA is supposed to do, kill presidents isn't one of them. And if you believe, if I do, that they shouldn't do that sort of thing, then you believe in constitutional government. And if you were going to conduct an investigation into Kennedy's death without constitutional rules, then you would be no different than they were, assuming they did it, and I don't assume we did it, and I certainly didn't succeed in proving that they did.
So back to the early days, you came in with an understanding that the Warren Commission had done a thorough investigation and a number of honorable men signed that, so they must have done a good job. The consensus? Because
you've got to understand something. I told Stokes that was my private opinion. I also told Stokes that that would not affect what I did. I would still conduct a thorough investigation of everything that happened, and that included the Warren Commission. And we did. We did a thorough investigation of what the Warren Commission did or didn't do. And one of the things that we found is that the president said everybody in the government's going to cooperate with the Warren Commission, and then the Warren Commission found that everybody in the government had cooperated with them. Well, we found that the CIA had not cooperated with them, and we found that the FBI had not cooperated with them. So that the Warren Commission was misled by the government agencies. They didn't so much mislead the people, although we could come back to that in a minute, as they were misled by the government, meaning the investigative agencies. The CIA withheld from the Warren Commission the facts that they had plotted with the mafia to kill Castro. And had the Warren Commission known that, meaning the people that were conducting the investigation, that would be a direct lead to a conspiracy. Possible conspiracy. And the chief counsel of the commission told me in a deposition that he would have conducted a different investigation if he had done that in its scope and length. The FBI withheld from the Warren Commission electronic surveillance tapes that they had of the mafia. And that on those tapes, contrary to what I believed, the mafia talked about killing Kennedy. And so they sort of demonstrated in their own words that they had the motive, opportunity, and means to kill the president. And that doesn't mean they necessarily did it, but it was a situation very different than what I thought I would find. Frankly, when I got to these tapes, I knew about them from other work that I had done, and I figured, and it was a joke on the Hill among my staff, is that a person who had spent his life chasing the mafia, making every effort to lock them up for anything that he could find that they did, was suddenly going to be the person who vindicated them by proving that they didn't do it by getting to these surveillance tapes. Because I thought that surveillance tapes would probably exculpate them, and I was wrong. It turns out that they tended to inculpate them. I was wrong not only on what was on the tapes, but on the comprehensive character of them. I thought that they would be, it was all over the United States, including in New Orleans and in Florida, and with Trafficante and Marcello, who are the two leading figures. You're going to look for somebody who might have done it. It's Marcello and Trafficante. And so I figured I want to know what are on the Trafficante tapes. I want to know what are on the Marcello tapes.
You know, that was my impression when I first heard of some of these tapes. I wondered if the FBI had just manufactured them, left them there for somebody in a committee to find. Would they be accepted hook, line, and sinker? And you would incriminate the organized crime and get you off the real case. But that's another story.
The agent, whose, ironically, his name was Kennedy, who should have conducted surveillance of Marcello, told the Bureau that he couldn't get anything in, and he told me in my office that Marcello was just a tomato salesman, that all this stuff about him being a mafia boss was all myth. The agent who was my liaison with the Bureau virtually fell out of his chair when he heard Kennedy say that, and he came back to me afterwards and apologized to me for Kennedy's performance. So it turns out that the tapes tend to incriminate the mob, motive, opportunity, and means, but not to the last point, because they were not comprehensive in Tampa and they were not comprehensive in New Orleans. So they didn't exculpate them. I thought they would affirmatively exculpate them. They tended to incriminate them, but they didn't exculpate them.
Now, can you tell me about maybe the first week as counsel there? What was the mood there? What was your impressions that you recall?
Well, the first thing that I did is I conducted a review of the people who were there, and whether they were competent, whether they were appropriately graded, and how they were paid. And I didn't keep everybody on. Some people left, but I regularized the positions of the people and regularized their pay. And then I sat down with them, and I told them something not terribly different than I just told you, that I was going to conduct an investigation with their help, as full and as thorough as we could, both of the investigative agencies, to figure out whether they did a good job. And second, one of the ways that we would find out whether they did a good job is to see if their conclusions were wrong. If we came to conclusions different from what the investigative agencies did, we would by of necessity show that their investigations left something to be desired. Basically what I said to them.
I was surprised to hear that a number of people on the staff had subscribed to the Warren Commission conclusions. I had thought that just to be part of this kind of the ambitious nature of the House Select Committee on Assassinations, that you would have been embracing this idea that we're there to dig up something that those guys didn't. So that was one of
that's precisely what we did embrace. To evaluate the Warren Commission, we have to figure out what the Warren Commission did and didn't do, and how well they did it. And what they did is they conducted a good shooter investigation. They did not conduct a conspiracy investigation, period, end of story. So if there had been a conspiracy in the killing Kennedy, the Warren Commission would not have found it. Their investigation was just pathetic.
They tried to foot around that by saying, in as far as what we have uncovered, we have not uncovered anything. But as many people have said, they weren't even looking.
I think that's not fair to the people who were doing it. The commission itself didn't do the investigation. The investigation was done by the staff, and they were a very bright, able group of people. The way in which their charge came to them is the FBI's got it all solved, it's Oswald alone, and all we have to do is look carefully at the FBI report, and then we can conclude what's appropriate. And none of the staff members would do that. They wanted to go behind the FBI report. And so they did, as best they could. The difficulty was that the commission staff, now I'm talking about principally Howard Willens, he was from the Department of Justice, kept asking the staff, well, okay, what are your leads? You want to keep us in business for a length of time. In other words, it didn't have a 9-month grant. It had a 30-day grant that was extended to 60 days that were, it just incremental. And you can't really conduct an investigation that way. You have to be reasonably open-ended. You can't just do 30 days and then add another 30 days. Because if you only had 60 days, you'd have to stop before you got to the end of the 60 days and write your report. If you're only going to be live 60 days, that means 20 days of your term is going to be printing your report. Writing and printing your report. That's the way it works. Most of the, quote, critics of the Warren Commission report and the other things have to be put in. Let me stop and do it this way. The assassination is a lot like a Rorschach test. It tells me more about you than it does about the actual investigation. Most people come to it with a presupposition as to what happened, and they look for evidence to uphold that, and any evidence inconsistent with that, they reject. And they apply one test to the evidence that's consistent with their hypothesis, a very low one, and a very high one for all the evidence that's inconsistent with their hypothesis. So most of the private people that have looked at it, frankly, don't know what they're doing. They don't have experience in conducting sophisticated investigations. And they also lack the ability to make a series of decisions that lead in one direction. They get fixated on one part of it, and then everything is constructed around that one part. There are not too many people that have looked at it in a dispassionate way.
Getting back to the early days you were optimistic that this would be well received, that everyone on the staff, you had gone over them and you had kind of streamlined things?
I'll tell you what I told them. I got them together and I said, this is not necessarily the staff that I would have chosen, and I am probably not the chief counsel that you would have chosen. But history has chosen us. You are the best staff to do this because you're the only staff to do it. And I am the best chief counsel because I am the only chief counsel to get it. This is our one and only chance. Now, one of the things that happened is that we were not fully financed, and we would have to go about it halfway through the investigation. We would have to be refinanced. So if we spent our money carefully and didn't exceed our budget, we couldn't have done anything. We had enough to pay the salaries, but we didn't have enough to travel. And so I told the staff and I told the chairman, we're going to treat this as if we're refinanced, and we're going to spend our money to do the investigation. And then we're going to be out of money. And if we have some good leads, then they'll refinance us. And if we don't have any good leads, they won't refinance, and that'll be the end of it. So we took a risk that we would conduct a full bore investigation for the length of time that was available to us, and we would have spent all our money and couldn't have continued it on, and the House Administration Committee could finance us again or not finance us again. And as it turns out, they financed us again, in part because of Lou Stokes. Lou Stokes was the ideal leader, person who pulls people together, was known for his unimpeachable integrity and judgment. And when he went back to the House Administration's Committee and asked for the additional money, there were a lot of people snipping at our heels and what have you, looking for a piece of meat to prove what happened to Kennedy or what happened to King. And we didn't have it at that point. But we had a plan that if there was something there, we might be able to find out about it. So we got the financing. We were the largest single congressional investigation, bar none, up until that time. And we were the most expensive investigation up until that time.
I was just thinking of some of the things they spend money on after the fact that I think were less important as something like this. I think this was so important. Frankly, I thought you were underfunded.
Well, I thought we were underfunded too. But we would have been underfunded no matter what happened. We didn't have unlimited funds. And we didn't have unlimited time. This was what Congress was willing to do. And it was the largest single investigation in Congress up until that time, and the most expensive.
How do you feel it could have been better then? I mean, like you say, you can't just throw unlimited funds at something, yet it's my impression that you had a lot of opposition, even having in Congress.
We had opposition from whom?
As I recall, in Congress, there was opposition, and it was certainly in newspaper editorials that they were saying, what, you know, another investigation, the Warren Commission has put this to bed, you know, everyone go back to sleep.
Well, sort of, but they had no impact on what we did. The members on the committee were behind what we did, and we had no objection to what the investigation that we were doing while we did it, and we got our funding. If you've been told that there was congressional opposition, you've either been misled as to the fact of the opposition or misled about the impact that it had.
Fair enough.
I had no opposition that made an impact on me to what Mr. Stokes and I did. We did what had to be done. And on the whole, we had a person that I had known beforehand had become the director of the FBI, was a personal friend of mine. So I had a kind of inside path to him and used it and basically sat down and talked with him and said, look, Mr. Director, this investigation did not occur on your watch. If it's a good investigation, that's fine. If it's not a good investigation, you don't have any stake in saying that it's good or bad. It was on somebody else's watch. And he agreed with me. And basically, he gave me what I asked for. The CIA is a different situation. I sat and negotiated with the CIA a memorandum of understanding that was unprecedented. We got complete access to their files, at least in theory, and that if there were some things in it that had to be, there are various kinds of intelligence classifications, secret, some things that are more than secret. And so basically everything we looked at was classified. And if it had too high a degree of classification, either Mr. Stokes or myself or both of us looked at it, and the staff did not. That was only a small subset of all of what we did. Basically, we looked at everything, and the agreement was, instead of declassifying it as it was given to us, we would worry about declassifying it before we published it. And that's what we did. And so when we got down to the end, we wrote our report, and then the agency came in, and the FBI came in, and the Secret Service all came in and looked at the sections dealing with them, and they made certain suggestions to us for accuracy, and where they caught us in mistakes, and we made some mistakes, we corrected them, and where they wanted us to say certain things differently, we didn't change anything. And when they wanted not to classify, that they wanted not to declassify certain things, we basically told them we were going to do it, and we declassified what we wanted to. Now, you have to understand that the major reason that they wanted to classify things had nothing to do with the content of the document, but rather how it was obtained, sources and methods. And as long as what they wanted to do was classify the source and method, but the content they would let us have, we could always work out a relationship, and we did. Now, I thought that we had a good arrangement with the CIA, and it turns out that I was mistaken. And I'm sure you've heard the story about Joannides. And in the end, they didn't fully cooperate with us, and it undermines our investigation to that degree. And it was not to the agency's best interest to not cooperate with us, because now it leaves a suspicion that what they were hiding was not their incompetence, but their complicity.
Well, that's what one conclusion you could draw. George Joannides getting an award for his work. But we can discuss that, you know, later and other things. I was just wanted to get in the beginning here, just your impressions, your memories.
If you want my background, what you should do is you should go to the Notre Dame website and look at my resume.
Sure, I'll do that. I'll make a link to that. I think also that what you've just been telling me, though, your impressions and how the whole thing evolved. Because I think, like with any investigation, the people will complain if the conclusion doesn't reach what they wanted it to be. I think you had brought out a number of things that have stood the test of time. You know, the acoustical evidence that has been kind of chipped away at by other people. I think that the standings you stood behind their findings, I don't think anyone has credibly discredited.
I tend to agree with that. And what is most important is the actual witness testimony in the plaza, which if we had not, and this is a what if, we got a 50-50 judgment about was there a shot from the grassy knoll, and we sent the acoustics people back to see if they could improve that, looking at that data from a different way, and they did, and then they came back and they said it was, I think it was 95%. If they had not been able to change that, we would have to have gone into the witness testimony in the plaza to see what it said, and not just statistically as we did it, adding them up. You have some impressive testimony in the plaza. You have Chief Curry said there were shots from two directions. Forrest Soles, the head of the Secret Service in Dallas, said there were shots from two directions. You have another Secret Service agent, Paul Landis, in a car behind the president's car, said there were shots from two directions. You have a number of people on the grassy knoll itself. Bill and Gail Newman, for example, said the shots were from two directions. So, and the Warren Commission found all of that kind of testimony not credible. In fact, you had one man, S.M. Holland, who was standing on the overpass, and he said there were four shots, and this is the sequence and direction of them. And he said this before it was public. He was one of the first witnesses interviewed, and he had it dead right. After we were finished with all the acoustics and all the witness testimony and the autopsy report and the photographs, we didn't come up anything different than what S.M. Holland said that day. So it's not like there's no testimony in the plaza that shots didn't come from two directions. There's credible testimony in the plaza that it did. And then there's a lot of testimony from people who were not entirely in a position to see and know or to hear, and therefore their testimony might not be as credible. But the Secret Service agents I just gave you, that's impressive. And people standing on the grassy knoll saying the shots came in over their head, that's kind of impressive. The remarkable thing is that the Warren Commission, in basically two lines, said the testimony was not credible. If we had not had the high standard of confidence in the shots, we might have gone back and analyzed the plaza testimony in greater detail. I regret that we didn't.
Is there anything else from the early days of your recollections of how you thought this would be the reception for the report? And, you know, I think that was one of the big things that you mentioned. You had to make sure that when your time ended, you had a report to hand back to Congress. So that was...
Yeah, that's what we were hired to do. We were given about $5 million, and they expected a report from us. So we actually gave them the conclusions and spent several more months writing the report, so that we were not on time. But we were on time and under budget in terms of finishing the conclusions. The report was a little more difficult to put together. This took more time. So I collected a small group of the staff, and we worked on the report, put all the footnotes in and stuff, filled in all the background stuff. No, it came out, and of course people treated it as whether they liked it and if it agreed with them, and they disliked it if it disagreed with them. Most people have never read the report. Have you?
Not in its entirety, but excerpts and...
No. What? That's a fudge way to put it. Not in its entirety. What percentage of it have you read?
Word for word, about 40% maybe.
Okay. Well, you're probably way in excess of most people.
Right. Well, I have an interest in it, and sometimes you flip to something you're doing research for, and you want to see what have they found about this, what are some of the things that were... Like, one of the things I found of interest was the testing of the rifle, comparing it to the rifling of Commission Exhibit 399. When you go back to some of those tests, things that were discovered, it's of infinite interest. And I was going to ask you, is there, when you wrote the report, the conclusion... Is there a highlight? Is there something that you felt particularly that stood out that people should know about?
No, I think they should know about the whole thing. The Warren Commission said there were two shots, maybe three, from behind, and that was all. And Oswald did it, and he had no associates. Well, we decided that there were indeed four shots. The Warren Commission shots were there, but there were also shots from the grassy knoll. And there was substantial witness testimony to that effect. And if there are two shooters in the plaza, that means there was a conspiracy. And when you try to find out who's involved in the conspiracy, you ask who Oswald is and what his associations were. And the Warren Commission did not bring out his organized crime associations. And when you go to Jack Ruby, who killed him before he could talk himself, the Warren Commission said Ruby had no organized crime associations. And when they said that, they relied on the testimony from Lenny Patrick, who grew up in the neighborhood with Ruby. And Lenny Patrick was a killer from the mob. In fact, Ruby had substantial organized crime association. Now, association doesn't mean conspiracy. But if you don't have associations, you don't have conspiracy. So what I think has happened in the past, since the report, is other things have come out from time to time. Most recently, it's the confession of Carlos Marcello in prison to an inmate that he was responsible for the assassination.
Go ahead.
That's a piece of evidence that we'd had during the hearings. We certainly would have put it in the record.
The report is quite level to you. There isn't one thing that stands out that in your mind.
No, not really.
Okay, fair enough.
Read it as a whole.
I'm not here to criticize. I'm here just to understand, what did you find? What was your thoughts? People can, like you say, read the report from themselves and see where the chips fall. And even, you know, there's the debate of what happened. Well, that'll be going on for a long time. But I'd just like to know what people who are in these things, what they thought. So we can get, further in the next interview. But just, you know, right or wrong, you know, what was your impression of the committee,
Great. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.